Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much once again for joining us this morning for this period of biblical study at this time. We thank you so very much for your interest in spiritual matters and that you can spiritually seek to understand what God's will is toward each one of us as we live here on this earth. You know, we are a product of God's great plan. God is the very author of our lives. And as we have the opportunity to come to be, then we have the opportunity to know how He teaches us to live and to behave. This month is a great month of the year. We talk about February being the heart month because of the many things that are associated with the heart. Love, romance is a part of that as well. And as we talk about the spiritual heart, we're talking about every month of the year. This month that we're encouraged to wear red and to help all those who are around us to be aware of the health of the heart. The CDC is wanting us to get a checkup to help keep any problems of heart disease from being a major problem. And every year, 805,000 Americans have a heart attack, and about 691,000 people die from heart disease in the United States. Each, that's out one out of every five deaths occur from heart disease. Heart disease is a leading cause of death for both men and women. And cardiovascular diseases include heart disease and stroke. And it costs the United States $320 billion each year to manage them and to care for them. And many of them pass away anyway. They encourage everyone to have a plan for prevention of developing heart disease. And that means for us to maintain a healthy weight and exercise regularly and to monitor our blood pressure. And to have our cholesterol checked and to take your medicine as you ought to. Are we taking care of our physical heart? But more especially than that, God's teaching in His Bible is to take care of our spiritual heart. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, Jesus talked about those that have things that proceed out of the mouth. That comes from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Jesus Himself is noting, these things proceed and defile a man, not from outside, but from inside the heart. Not from the things that we say, but from the things that we say without the heart being involved. Feast on the Word of God. Be a person who waits on the Lord. Be a person who exercises daily in prayer as we wake up in the morning, before we go to sleep at night. In our Bible study period of time during the day, monitor our walking in the light. As we take this particular idea in mind, are we taking care of our spiritual heart? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 that defilement comes from the heart. He wanted us to understand that the spiritual heart is what needs to be kept in check. Are we drawing near with our words, but our heart is far from Him? Think about it. If we say, Lord, Lord, to Him, what did He say about that? Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. This was said in the early part of Jesus' ministry in Matthew chapter 7 at verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I have met people in my life that talked about how much they love the Lord and how much they love to talk to Him in prayer. But from their lifestyle and activities, it doesn't seem that they really love to have Him very near to their heart. They love to talk about Him, but not from the standpoint of the spiritual heart being close to God. Let's talk about that for a little bit this morning. Let's talk about the real heart. This broadcast is brought to you by the Crockett Church of Christ, located 7 miles from Highway 55 north, and it 7 miles due west toward the Tunica side. You'll see on the left side of the road a nice building and a nice big sign there that talks about the Crockett Church of Christ and the time of services, 9:30 in the morning of Sunday mornings, 10:30, and again Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come and be a part of these services with us. Bring your Bible with you. Enjoy the biblical studies. Or if you do not have your Bible with you when you get there, you have one at the sign of each one of the songbook racks. And so you'll have one that you can refer to there as the preaching and teaching is done and as discussions are being held. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, notice what Paul wrote regarding love. Real agape love. God-like love. That he talked about. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. And it is not proud. Love is not dishonoring others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres, endures. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Love never fails. When you're an individual in home and family, and you say you love this wife, or you love this husband, you love your children, and you practice a way that is impatient, are you showing them true love of God? When the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 at verse 4, love is patient, it's kind, it does not envy, it is not boasting, it is not proud. When you find yourself talking to others in the family and you dishonor others, you're self-seeking, you're easily angered, it keeps records of wrongs that have been done to you. Are you showing them the kind of love that God wanted us to possess? Think about this. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And that's what we try to do on this program every Sunday morning. We try to tell the truth. We try to tell all that's involved with God's expectations of our lives. And not just what our church teaches, not just what we've been taught in seminary, or just what we've been taught by someone around us. We are people who find ourselves rejoicing in the truth. It always protects. Love always trusts, always hopes, always endures. Love never fails. This is the way of God. This is the way that he taught through Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a full description from the cradle to the grave of love. Patient and kind, does not envy, does not boast, does not proud, does not dishonor others, does not seek self to serve. It is not easily angered. These things teach the rudimentary acts of true love. And true love makes a difference in a person's life. About this time, I have found that people turn it off. About this time in describing love, I find that most people have heard enough. They just maybe sit there, fold their arms, and maybe sit there and endure the rest of the few minutes of time that I speak. But that's the way that it is. They've heard enough about what true love really is. But can we not find a wonderful way of life by which we have love shown to us? If someone shows us patience and kindness and shows us a way of being humble, shows us a way of honor, shows us a way to not be quickly angered, keeps no record of wrongs, is not delighting in evil, but rejoicing with the truth. Does that not do good for us? If we're that kind of person that helps others, we show the kind of love that God, through Paul, is telling us that we should show. Think about our lives and think about how we talk about things, and we're different from what we talk. Is that not the role of a hypocrite? While it is true that the church from time to time does have a fair share of hypocrites, so does the rest of the world all the time. And there are probably fewer hypocrites in the church than accusations that are made. But if we note what the Bible tells about the word hypocrite, we understand that it is a part of playing a role. Hypocrites were actors of early times. They were stage players. They assumed a character. And as a result of that, they acted the role of the character. They were not actually that person, but they acted that way. They used profanity when profanity was called upon to be used. They used vulgarities of conduct when they had that to be presented to them. And they were not pure in heart. They were not people who honored the way of God. The word hypocrite comes from a Greek word which means to act under an assumed character. When we see a hypocrite on the screen, we may rejoice in their way of doing and their way of life and how that they're caught in their way of life and prosecuted in their way of life, or how they may change and wish they had not been caught in that way of life and change that way of life. It's the opposite of what Peter and Paul talked about in the writing of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, and in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. The hypocrite is one who loves for all things pertaining to the faith, including his brethren, is really not true love at all. It's the opposite of what Peter talked about, the kind of love we ought to have, and Paul talked about the kind of way we ought to treat one another. When he talked to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and at verse 5 about true love. Many churches are rocked by some sordid scandal, as preachers may be caught in adulterous affairs, and treasurers may be found to have embezzled money that is donated, and youth groups are shut down due to misconduct of a youth leader. Many of the scandals also happen in the town's council and in corporations and at schools. And people don't typically refuse association with those organizations in the light of some scandal that takes place. They don't say, "I'm not going back to work because there are hypocrites there. I'm not going back to this particular school because there are hypocrites that are there." There's an effort made to correct that. There's an effort made to record that and to note that and to tell that that's true and that should change. And as a result, people out of school need to get back into school where there is not hypocrisy that comes about. And so it is that in life, we have the opportunity to be people who help the local church, help the local pulpits, insist that the truth be practiced and be taught, and do not say, I'm not going back there because there's a hypocrite there. There are more hypocrites there than you can speak of. And because of that, I do not wish to be a part of that. Let's be people who are part of God's plan. In Romans chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he talks about the churches of Christ. Salute one another with holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. But mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, and avoid them. They are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Simply put, we may be looking for a reason not to attend when we invent those kind of individuals being the majority of people at church services, and we do not seek to make corrections. We do not seek to go to that individual and talk with them about the words that we may have heard them say, the mannerisms we may have seen them practice, the kind of conduct that everybody has seen in their lives. But when that happens, and it's never corrected, they gain strength thinking that the way they talk and the way they act and the way they behave is the way that shows that I'm in charge, shows that I'm powerful, shows that I'm a part of this church leadership, instead of saying to ourselves, this is a way of life that ought not to go. This is a way of life I ought not to practice. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6 talks about someone who walks a path that is disorderly, and reconciling with an offended brother or sister before coming to worship is listed in Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24 by Jesus himself. But I'm talking about someone who may find a way of life that they honor. They like to do it that way, and it's not the way that God would have them to do. We're supposed to withdraw fellowship from, as a church, withdraw a fellowship from those individuals who find themselves walking disorderly, not according to the rules, not according to the dictates of the Bible, not according to the teachings of God's Word, but according to their own volition in life. Let's be people then who honor the way of the Lord, and let's be people who seek to correct those who do not honor that right way. John writes regarding the light by which we walk. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, Christians are to be people who do not stumble into sin, but who walk in the light. And as they walk in the light, they find themselves opportunities to do the things that they see in the light. We should not sin, but invariably from time to time, we still do sin. And in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 1, he tells us regarding this matter that we should make changes in life. 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 and 10 talked about a person who finds himself deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us when we find ourselves not doing the will of God. Let's be people who find ourselves doing God's will. And if we confess our sins, he says, 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I often talk about unrighteousness because that's because of our heart, the way that we think about things. Unrighteous plans, unrighteous deeds, unrighteous activities. Unrighteous. It's not right to us to do, but we practice that way anyway. That should be corrected by us. We should be people who recognize that this is what I'm doing. This is not honored by God. And therefore, I need to have this unrighteousness resolved. And that's what God says He does there in 1 John 1, verses 8 through 10. In verse 9, when He says, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to keep you from all unrighteousness. God seeks to keep us from those unrighteous things that we think about and that we plan to do in the way that we do that. And it gets us into missing the mark. It gets into sin. We miss the mark. And when we miss the mark, we fail God. And we need to confess that we've done so. We need to come to God in prayer and say, I have sinned. He says, if you confess your sin to me, I'll forgive you your sin. And I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'll cleanse you from the things that led you to say those words, to do those kind of deeds, to be that kind of individual in life. When you're that kind of individual, you're not serving me. You're not serving my way. It's a terrible thing for you not to walk in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 7. But if you walk in the light of God's way, if you behave like you should in regard to that matter, you will be a changed individual from day to day. And when you do those things, and we will do those things from time to time, that we've said too much at a ball game. We've said too much at a ballpark. We've said too much in the stands. And we realize that I have misrepresented the Lord. I misrepresented the Lord's way. I misrepresented that way that is righteous. I'm sorry, Lord. And we say to others round about us, that's not the way for me to talk. I'm sorry that I did that in front of y'all. I'm sorry I did that today. Please recognize that I want to be forgiven of that. I don't want that to represent the way of God in my life. You'll have people that will honor you, people that will appreciate you, and people that will pat you on the back and encourage you to be a person who continues to be faithful, humble before God, instead of living the way of life that you were talking about just a few minutes ago. When you find that opportunity to be a person who serves God, you're finding a way to be spiritual in mind and spiritual in heart and practice. And God says that He forgives you of your sins and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You see, there are a lot of things that lead us to that unrighteous action of missing the mark. But when we get into thinking about it, we get into justifying it in our minds. We get into justifying it in our conduct. We get into thinking about it more and more. We need someone, and God is that someone, who comes into heart and says, listen, this is not the way for you to live. It's not the way for you to think. It's not the way for you to talk. It's not the way for you to misbehave. Have this opportunity to be a person who can follow God's way and be cleansed of all unrighteousness. God wants us to do that. And He says He'll help us do that. 1 John 1 and verse 9. The Crockett Congregation brings this broadcast your way each Sunday morning. And during the week, we bring your broadcast to you on a two-minute program each morning time on both the stations that are listed here from Batesville. And we invite you to listen in the morning time between 7:30 and 8 o'clock each morning and hear that message that's repeated again and again so that people can have the verse in front of them, can go to the Bible and read that verse, let it speak to their heart, speak to their lives, and be people who improve because of that. And that's the way of life that He tells us that we can live. Well, when we do that sort of thing as a Crockett congregation, we invite you to come and visit with us. Come and be a part of the services with us. Sunday mornings at 9:30, Bible study classes are underway. 10 o'clock, 10:30 is a worship service. We gather, we sing, we pray, we partake of the Lord's Supper. We remind ourselves in the giving to the cause of the Lord. Just on that particular morning, we do that. We have the opportunity to be people who follow the way of God and do His way. You can be a part of that service with us Sunday mornings, 9:30, 10:30, and Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Come out and be with us there at Crockett. We're not that far away, and we are closer than you can think of when you get to driving just on that way, 7 miles from Interstate 55. We find ourselves to the west side, going toward Tunica, rather than otherwise. Some of the GPS stuff will send you the other way, to the Crockett Road out that way, toward Luxahoma and Thyatira, and toward Hot Springs. But that's not the way to go to get to Crockett Church of Christ. The Crockett congregation is located to the west, to the Tunica side. And we come out to be there at 9:30, 10:30, and 6 o'clock on Sundays. We hope that you'll come out and be with us this very week. This morning we talked about love. We talked about the way that love tells us to be. And in this month of February, we have a way of checking our physical heart, and we have a way of looking in the Bible and checking our spiritual heart. We find ourselves following God's way and God's will. And as we do that, we find a way that we can be forgiven by Him of the things we've said and the things that we've done and the way that we have misbehaved. I sure thank you for your time today in our study and hope that you will study with us frequently as you go through your week and turn on the radio in your car and listen and see if that program doesn't come on your channel from the morning times, 7:30 to 8 o'clock too. God bless you in every good way. This is Robert Rawson speaking for the Crockett congregation. As we meet and as we gather, they wish for you to hear these messages every Sunday. And come and be with us in regular services if you can. God bless everyone. Let's have the love that we ought to have, and let's have the activities we ought to have in serving the cause of God. It's been a joy to be with you today and to study with you from the Bible on this occasion. And I trust that it's been a benefit to everyone listening this morning. Thanks for your time. This is Robert Rawson.